Welcome to Sweet Tea and Therapy, the podcast where we spill the tea on life, business, and mental wellness, served with a side of Southern Chunky. As the holiday season approaches, are you feeling the joy or just the stress? Today, we're talking about navigating the holiday hustle without losing your mind. From setting boundaries with family, to managing gift-giving guilt and carving out time for rest. This episode is packed with tips to help you reclaim your peace and make the season meaningful. Grab your favorite cozy drink, settle in, and let's dive into creating a holiday season that's full of joy on your terms. Let's get started. All right, it is time for us to get this episode underway. So today we are going to be talking about the holidays. They're upon us. They're here. They are this week. And we're not going to be talking about the typical things that people talk about, but we're going to talk about the stuff that really goes on behind the scenes of the holidays, behind the food, the decor, all the fun. We're going to be talking about just navigating the expectations, stress, you know, boundary issues, so that hopefully you folks can have some joy, find some joy in this season. So Adrian, tell me your thoughts on this, because I brought it up before about us talking about navigating holiday stress. And I know for me, it's obviously as an adult, the stress level is way higher. And there are some core reasons why I believe that the stress level is higher. So why do you think the holidays are so stressful for so many?
I think it goes back sort of to what you said about expectations, is that there are generally a lot of expectations around what the holidays are supposed to look like.
Right.
You know, our families of origin, you know, tend to have some form of tradition, even if it's that we don't celebrate it. Right. And so coming into adulthood, creating families of our own, leading lives of our own that may look a little different from our families, it can create a lot of stress. You don't want to disappoint people that you love and that love you. And a lot of us really struggle with people pleasing. You know, we don't know how to say what we need and what doesn't work for us. And usually that is due to a fear of some sort, fear of maybe even just the discomfort of someone being upset with you.
Right.
Or disappointed in a choice that you made. Right. So
right.
We tend to want to avoid those conversations. Where were you, you know, for Thanksgiving dinner? I heard you went on a trip with your boyfriend and, you know, why would you do that? You know, you ain't married. You know, you're single till you're married. You know, just
right.
All the things. Also, coming into adulthood, this is something that I have dealt with, is the expectation now to cook and to be able to, you know, sort of pick up the baton from generations. And it's just like, that's not really my thing, you know? I mean, like when I lived by myself, I did cook and I enjoy trying new recipes and stuff, but I've learned about myself over the years that I don't necessarily like cooking for other people, and especially for something like Thanksgiving or Christmas, because again, there's expectations, right? If you're going to bring the macaroni and cheese,
yes,
it's got to be perfect.
Yes. Oh, you said a mouthful. I think even though we're from two different generations, you're from, you know, you're younger than me in your 30s. I'm in my 40s, my late 40s. I think we're both in that unique position where you're at the front of the line now. You have your own family
and you still have expectations from your family of origin. So you have a family and there's still the pull from the other side. So you're in the middle. Or maybe, and I know in my case, I'm at what I like to call the front of the line. There's nobody else to do the things besides you. And that is, there are a lot of expectations by being at the front of the line, planning, organizing. Now, every holiday, people just ask me, what are we doing? I'm like, damn it, I don't know. Which I want to do. And just the decision-making fatigue, or when you do make a decision, people are like, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Well, damn it. You know what? This is what we're doing. So I think, but still, like, still trying to please those people. Like you said, the people pleasing. And I know for myself, like, I have a sibling that doesn't live here. And I really feel for her because every year, even though she's got a 2-year-old, people are still like, when are you coming home? They have never had a holiday where they were at home. And to me, that is like, that's crazy to still expect, you know, that, but it's expected.
It is that, and you know, I guess people forget, like, you have to do extra when you got a kid that small. You're not just packing, you know, a few outfits. You've got to pack extra, and the toys and the medicine in case they get sick while they're gone, and their special little snacks and their special type of food that they eat, and, you know, a toboggan and a big coat and a chair. Like, come on. You know, it's a lot of effort to travel. And I mean, for some people it may not be, but for me it always, when my kid was that young, a lot of effort to travel with him.
It's a lot. Look, anytime you're traveling with anybody other than yourself, it is a big undertaking.
Yeah.
And so, and the smaller, the younger, or the older that person is, the harder it is. I don't know if you've ever tried to travel with a senior citizen. It's like traveling with a 3-year-old.
Oh, no.
Promise you. I've done it. And it's not for the faint of heart, I will say that. So anytime you're traveling with the very young or the very senior, the elderly folks, or just more than just you and a partner, it takes on a whole nother level. And I think one of the big tips, one of my pro tips, is having a boundary and then communicating it and then enforcing it. Because I think the more often you do that, the more other people's expectations are managed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. If you start to let people know what works for you, like I told my family, I called around, I asked, hey, you know, I'm one of those people calling the my mom and my aunt, like, hey, what we doing? You know, and I'm one of them is like, I don't know. I feel this way, that way. I may go, you know, here for Thanksgiving, and the other's got other stuff happening. And she's like, I might stay home. So, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go and do this over here. But then a cousin got upset in the group chat because we're not doing what we normally do. And he thought that it was because of someone else's issues and that we weren't supportive of that, when it really had nothing to do with what was going on over there. But he, you know, he was big mad in the chat. We need to be doing what we always do, and I'm gonna be pissed off if, you know. And for me, I think an older version of myself would have gotten really defensive about that, and it could have become a thing. But for me, it's just as simple as, well, hey, I like to plan in advance. I did ask around. Here's the feedback that I got. So I decided to keep it simple for myself and eat at home.
Good for you. Good for you. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just, there's no emotion with that. That's just my reality. And I'm confident in that because I know this is, I mean, I know I did my part.
Exactly. And I think it goes back to something I've said here on the podcast before, getting okay with other people not being okay. Adrian, sometimes people, and I'm not saying your cousin, I don't know him, but sometimes I think other people, when things like this don't go as they normally go, that makes them have to figure something else out. They're used to kind of sitting back or just being an attendee, or, you know, having things planned, and they just show up. And I think sometimes people are annoyed that it's not going to be easy for them, or they are going to have to figure their holidays out for themselves. So I think knowing what you want, and this is outside of the holidays, know what you want first, because what happens around the holidays when people start asking, what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know, whatever. Then plans start getting made. And then you're upset. Well, yeah. You didn't know what you wanted. So everybody else knew what they wanted to do, and they moved forward. So I tell everybody around the holidays, know what you want and then communicate it. I think those are two big things, even outside of the holidays, that people don't do. So, and try very hard when it comes to things like this to not say, I don't know. Even if you're not 100% sure, even if you know what you don't want, say this year, I know we're not traveling. We're not going to anyone. Outside of that, maybe we're not sure, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to be having the holidays at home. Even if it's something like that, say what it is. Now, on the flip side of that coin, you have to be ready for pushback, and know that everybody will not adjust to what you're doing, and that is okay. They will be all right. I think a lot of times most people don't like change, Adrian. They don't like it that you're not doing what you usually do, and maybe they have a feeling about that, but we are well within our rights to do what feels comfortable. We don't have to do what we normally do.
And it doesn't mean that you don't love your family. It doesn't mean you don't value those relationships, or that you don't value the holidays or doing the holidays with them. But to expect things to never change is the setup for disappointment, I think. You know, I think that it's best practice to be flexible and open to change. And for me, planning ahead and asking questions, you know, I think you're right. Knowing what you want, actually taking enough time to think about, what do I want to do this year? How do I want to spend my holidays or the end of this year? Because also, for some people, that's the only time they take off of work.
That is correct.
Some people don't use their vacation and sick time, and they wait and they save it up for the holidays. And maybe they need rest more than they need to be cooking for 2 days and traveling to have a meal for, you know, 30, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people start leaving after you've driven an hour. Mm-hmm. Or hour and a half to 2 hours to go and be a part of. And then everybody's got other places they have to go and see other folks they want to see, or they want to get to a football game or whatever. But then they had the nerve to be upset if you choose to do something else, to stay at home, for example.
That was so well said. And I think, I just love everything you said right there. And I think it goes back to knowing how you want to spend your holidays. Because I don't know about you, but being a therapist, for me, I take off all those days between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. I take off other days during the year, obviously, but I feel like at that point in time, I really just need some time to decompress. I don't want to be doing any more than I already have to do. And I think just being the planner, because I'm the planner, doing all the things, you know, I don't want to. So that point that you make, maybe this is a time for rest for a lot of people and not doing a lot of things. And this year, to me as well, I've had a lot of this year. I've had a lot of people who are experiencing different types of loss. Mm-hmm. And it's a holiday time.
Yeah.
So it's funny how even those people who have had big, maybe traumatic losses, people are still saying, hey, what are we gonna do for the holidays? And sometimes I'm taken aback that even somebody like losing a very, very close loved one still doesn't stop people's expectations that you show up or you plan or we do the things. And I really think we need to take a good long look at, you know, the holidays and what's happening, because it's just like people are so focused on the vision or the idea of a perfect holiday.
What it's supposed to be.
What it should be. The should. What it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, I tell my clients, why are we doing the shoulds and the supposed tos and the have tos? Who told you that?
You know what? Nobody did, but they did low key. Does that make sense? Because they're feeling the shoulds. Like, I'm thinking about a few of my clients that have very traumatic, significant losses, and people are still calling them like, hey, you know, like, what's happening for this, for Christmas, for Thanksgiving? And I'm so proud of those clients because they're like, you can come here, but don't expect this, or this.
Yeah.
And I love what they did. They went, they took an elderly family member home to their home, and they told everybody there, this is the address of where we're going to be. If you want to see Miss So-and-so, y'all come in here. Otherwise, y'all ain't going to see her, because we are not going all over creation to accommodate you. We've already flown several miles away from home to bring this family member here. So just, again, going back to knowing what you want, communicating those needs, and then enforcing the boundary.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud that they did that.
That's good. That's good, healthy boundaries and communication. And like you said, just, you know, being okay with other people not loving it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think coping with the guilt. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing you talked about was the elderly members of the family. You know, what comes to my mind is, oh, we don't have many more years with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And this is my, you know, maybe my last chance or this or that, so I'm going to go anyway. What do you say to that person?
What I say to that person is, if you feel like that person has such little time left, don't wait till the holidays.
Amen. Yeah. Don't wait till the holidays. Don't let that be the one time, your one opportunity.
Yes. That's what I said. And I've heard that before. And I get, yes, the holidays are special and you want to spend that time with that elderly family member. But there's 364, 63 other days in the year that you can spend time with them and make it special. You don't have to wait. And I really think, I can't say this enough, that you got to have good boundaries and know what you want for yourself, for your holidays, not just your holidays, but every day. And this can kind of follow into the holidays. If you've had what I call an essential year, meaning you are just getting to each day, you're just getting to the next day, you may want to say, when it gets to the end of the year, I need rest, I need recovery. And this is what it feels like to me. This is what it looks like to me. And then sharing that with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're usually the planner, but you're in an essential year where you were just making it day to day, it's like, well, I'm going to make the conscious choice not to plan anything. And for me, I get guilt. Well, what are we going to do then? You know what? you'll be okay. You can figure it out. And I think I often felt responsible for other people enjoying themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, because when you're at the head of the line, you're the planner, you're the doer. And if other people aren't having good holidays, it's on you. Well, it's not on me. It's not on you. It's not on anybody. People need to figure out for themselves what that looks like. I know in my family, we started, at least those of us at the front of the line, meaning me and my sister, we start talking in September, like, what is it looking like for you this year?
Yeah.
What is it going to look like, you know, and start planning our visits like at different times. If she's not coming, you know, home, we start talking maybe even as early as summer. It's like, right. We're in the middle of the year. Like, what are you thinking? When are we going to do our visits? And really not waiting for the holidays to be with people we love and enjoy. And really kind of, I think what happens is, I don't know the right way to say it, but there's just so many there's so many expectations on the perfect holiday. But maybe if we just...
And maintaining the status quo.
That's what I think. I couldn't find the words. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I really think a lot of people feel some type of way if they don't have a holiday that's social media worthy that they can share.
Ooh, you just said something. Yeah, because you got to have an outfit, right? Your hair got to be done. Your nails got to be done to go sit in the living room with your family. But you need to be able to, you know, get some pictures in your outfit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, show how much you love your family from those pictures.
Yeah. I feel like the pressure has gotten worse for people and here's another thing that happens. Maybe you were cool until you started scrolling and you see, well, my person, they went over here, they went over there, maybe family members, they said they didn't want to hang out, but I see here that they went, you know, and it brings up all of this anxiety about, like, now you feel more alone, more isolated, because you were cool until you started looking.
Yeah, and everybody's putting on their best outfit and smiling. I'm telling you, social media. It's good until it's not.
There you go. I really, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it does that about everything. I'm thinking about, you know, at Christmas time, you got to have matching pajamas with your man and your kids.
I hate that.
Everybody's got to have matching pajamas.
No.
Yeah, and look, I like the matching pajamas, but I actually want us to just wear them, you know, that day. And yeah, we get a picture or whatever, but it doesn't have to be a professional in the studio picture. And no shade against people who value that, right? Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the people who do it for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, even for me, like the Christmas cards. I don't know if y'all are Christmas card family. Got to take the picture, got to get it out. It wasn't a professional picture, but we took one. I said, you know what? I have a box of beautiful Christmas cards. I think I'm just going to, because, you know, you got to get the picture. You got to make the card. You got to go on Canva, do whatever hell you got to do. And then you got to order it and you got to wait for it to come back and you got to.
It also takes planning if you want to get it out in the right time. I tried that last year or year before last, bought everybody's clothes and everything, and then it didn't happen. And I'm just not going through all that.
You don't,
for everybody else.
You don't need to. And I think all of these things, you know, especially when you're the head of the line person, the planner, the doer, you know, putting up your stuff, like pulling it out of storage, putting it up, you know, like doing all the things, buying all the things, pulling it together, making the Christmas card, getting the pajamas. Like, I'm guessing, but you're probably the person doing that, because I know I'm the person doing that. You just have to say, what about this time of year is important to me? And really, I really enjoy seeing other people's families and things like that. But when you haven't, you don't have a young family and things like that, it takes on a different meaning. So I think I can, you know, pull back a little bit on that. And I really think that there can be more joy this time of year if we lean into what really matters to us and we take away all the shoulds. We limit our time on social media outlets. We rest, we recharge, we connect with those we love. And I think we could put more joy back into the season.
Yeah.
So, but I will say this, and I will say this too, as the doer and the planner, I've noticed this feeling coming up in me. When you're doing all the things, and then there's people who are like, we're not coming, or we're not doing that. It does kind of tick me off, because I'm like, what? Yeah. You know, I just, you know, I
did all of this because I thought y'all were coming, and now you'd say you're not.
I will admit, and I think, pulling back off of some of that and just focusing on what's important to me eliminates that too. Because when I do all the things and I pull out all the stops, Adrian, I expect people to show up. And I realize, like, if I don't do all that, that expectation is gone. It's not there.
Yeah. And the guilt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to the parents or single parent who feels the pressure of buying everybody everything they want for Christmas. My mom, my entire life, if she didn't have the money, she would borrow money to make sure that we had a shit ton of stuff under that Christmas tree. And even in adulthood, even though we're all grown, she's still, and I've been calling her out for the last few years, like, you don't need to go in debt to buy gifts so that everybody can be happy and have a bunch of crap to open on Christmas.
Right.
That's another stressor, is financial. Right now, our economy is in a different place. People are struggling. Even the people that are so-called doing well are having to watch, you know, spending and how we do things. So I really want to just kind of give space to that parent and find some ways to encourage those people during these times.
Thank you for mentioning that. As somebody who was a single mom for 12 years, I know what that's like, to feel a lot of pressure, even if you weren't a single parent and you're just trying to make ends meet. You know, this could be not a joyous time. It could be a stressful time. And my mom was like yours, you know, like, she came from a very, you know, rural background, and, you know, they didn't have a lot of things. So she would go above and beyond. And I remember once that somebody gave her a gift and she didn't expect to get one for them. I mean, she didn't get one for them. You know what she did?
She went out and got something. Yeah.
And I've had to watch that within myself, because this goes back to people pleasing. And if you're a people pleaser, the holidays can be very stressful for you, because you are trying to do things that are going to make everybody else happy. So I really, and I saw it happening in my daughter, like, when she went to school and things like that, like, wanting to give all these gifts and wanting to do all these things. But I really worked with myself and with her and anybody else who struggles with people pleasing, just in general, be honest with who you genuinely want to give to, and be aware of those that you're thinking about giving to just because you think you should.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, like, gift giving is like a a competition or something like that. And it doesn't need to be. I tell people you give from the heart. If you don't genuinely want to give to X, Y, or Z, do not do it.
Yeah. And it's almost too like it's just for the sake of like so they can't say I didn't, because I've been in situations and within my family where we're all just giving each other the same amount of money or swapping gift cards around. And it's just like, what was the
Why
point?
do
We could have
that?
just kept that money and bought what we wanted for ourselves. Is I mean, not to say that gift cards are not appropriate, because sometimes they are, but it just brings me to the point of why are we doing this? Is this just so you can't say I didn't give you something for
It is.
Christmas, and so I can't say you didn't give me something?
It is. It is. And I have story after story about that, and you're right. And I don't know if you've ever tried this. I want to see what went on your end. But like the drawing names.
Yep.
Because if you draw names, what happens?
What do you mean?
If we draw names, that means I only get one gift from one person. I don't get,
10.
yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But that still doesn't work, because people like my mom, they go and they get their person something, but then they're gonna buy everybody else a little something too. So now if you're the one that only
Did
brought your person
now you
something,
look bad.
now you look crazy. You look selfish.
But I think really having a conversation, if that's because I know in some families where this is an issue and people have people pleasing issues, the drawing of names is not a good thing. But I think it could be a solution to gift what like this toxic gift giving. We're just, it's a power play. But I think it takes, in order for that, the name drawing to work, a lot of people have to do a lot of personal work. And I, if somebody out there has successfully done this, let me
I
know.
think it can be, but everybody has to communicate, be on the same page, and really, if we're just getting our one person a gift, let's do that. If you just gotta get your other people something, that's fine, but
Here's
it
what
would
I
be
would say.
helpful if you don't.
Here's what I would say. Get whatever you want for your nuclear family, people that live in your home. Get do the
Sure.
things.
Your kids, all that. Yes.
Yes, but if it's like the extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, all of that, and we have a get together, we draw names. We're going to decide, but and we've done this, but well, we did a game and I planned it, but before Thanksgiving, names are drawn. And I even did the thing where, like, you can tell the people a little bit about yourself, your likes, and things like that. But we drew enough ahead of time so you would be able to do that. And I think that might work if the just amongst the extended family, it was name drawing, and within your nuclear family, you did whatever you wanted to do. I think that would help, but I think it would take people letting go of some maybe not so helpful behaviors for that to work. And I think that's a whole nother topic. But I think this is a way of doing holidays different, doing them mindfully instead of just doing what we've always done. Doing what we've always done isn't always the best thing.
Right. Even down to what we eat, we
Oh.
have the same dressing, ham, macaroni and cheese, greens, yams, maybe some green beans is somewhere, several cakes or pies, and then the same thing is Thanksgiving and Christmas usually. There may be a few tweaks here and there, but good grief, we could switch it up. And I
We
think that we
can.
could make it special
without spending all this money and it, you know, for things that people may or may not even use.
I really agree. So I'm going to share this, and then I want us to talk about some of the pro tips that I've shared with some of the people I've worked with. 1 year, we decided we were going to do potluck for the holidays. So that meant everybody who was coming, you just bring whatever is your favorite dish. It doesn't matter if it's not traditional or not. It doesn't matter what it is. So that was one of the best food holidays ever. We had seafood. We had Jamaican beef patties. We had stew. We have like a charcuterie. We had, it was just like all these random assortment of food. Instead of the traditional setting, you know, those placemats that you get from a Chinese restaurant that has their zodiac on it.
I don't think I've seen that.
Like, it's from the Chinese New Year. You know, it's like a rabbit, a dragon, a dog. And it has the Chinese zodiac. Those are the placemats.
Okay.
So what we did is everybody looked at their placemat, picked their animal, told their, you know, the strengths from their zodiac sign. Everybody kind of was like, yeah, yeah. We discussed, you know, whatever sign that you had. And some people, according to the Chinese zodiac, it goes by the years that you were born. So some people end up having the same zodiac. So it was just very random, very different. One of the best. Mm-hmm. One of the best holidays. And then a new thing we've done, if we, the big group comes together, we do a drink masters competition. Which means that before Thanksgiving, you draw a name, or we do families, like the nuclear families are in a group, and you have to create either a mocktail or a cocktail and a dessert based on what flavors you pulled.
Okay, that sounds fun.
And we just focus on that. So really in doing some of these things, really getting people unattached to the same old, getting them unattached from that. And it's been a really big success and kind of shaking things up a little bit. And I encourage everybody else, like, think outside of the box. Now, warning, if it's your idea, be ready to do some work. So that's the other side.
That part.
that's important to say. But to me, it was worth it to see people light up because I didn't know what to expect. It was new. It was different. So shake things up. Try something different. Manage your expectations. You know,
communicate.
Please communicate. And start thinking, don't wait for the holidays to connect. I'm going to say that, you know, too often. I think that's another reason people get annoyed. This is the one time of year I get to see my grandkid or so-and-so. Don't let that be the only time of the year.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. This was a good episode. I think it was right mm-hmm. on time. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people will, you know, be thinking about, you know, how they want to spend their holidays and let at least most of it be for you. Mm-hmm. You know, something that you want mm-hmm. and, you know, figure out how to navigate that with your family.
Definitely. What I'll do for any listeners is if you follow us at Sweet Tea and Therapy on Instagram, I'll put some of these pro tips with in the caption and you guys can check those out. I've summarized them here, but enjoy your holidays. Enjoy them.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Sweet Tea and Therapy. If you loved what you heard and want to learn more about us and our journey, be sure to check out season one of the podcast for even more great conversations. Stay connected with us on Instagram at Sweet Tea and Therapy, all spelled out, where we share updates, insights, and all the sweet tea you need. And don't forget, you can catch up on past episodes right here on YouTube and on most major podcast platforms. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time for another round of Sweet Tea and Therapy. Take care.